the Skagway Assembly suspends waterfront negotiations with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. And Southeast fishermen push back on king salmon restrictions. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories are up next. The conversation about the future of Skagway's waterfront is taking a new turn. The city is exploring an economic partnership with a cruise company and suspending negotiations with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. Assemblyman Orion Hansen was on the team negotiating with the railroad. He voted against suspending lease talks.
I think the MOU that we had with White Pass was a pretty fair deal and a good deal. And essentially by ending all negotiations, I think we have really hamstrung ourselves from being able to move forward with building a dock. I don't see that happening here in the next 2 years, 3 years before it's going to be very difficult to get that accomplished without White Pass's cooperation.
What changed in the last few months? The Holland America Group entered the conversation. In February, the company sent the city a letter proposing an economic partnership. Holland America is suggesting forming a joint venture with Skagway to lease and manage two of the city's docks and their tidelands. The offer suggests Skagway lease the waterfront properties to the joint venture for 15 years, starting in 2023. That's the year that the city's waterfront lease with the railroad ends. In January, the assembly finalized a non-binding agreement with the company. Among other things, it made way for port improvements and a new lease. Port renovations are needed to accommodate larger cruise ships headed to Alaska. Holland America says it's prepared to fund the partnership with $20 million right away. The offer says revenue would be shared between the company and Skagway. In light of this new proposal, the assembly voted 4-2 at its last regular meeting to send a letter to the railroad, suspending negotiations and the current MOU. Assemblyman Steve Burnham Jr. voted in favor of the action because he says the Holland America deal would likely be more appealing to voters. Still, Burnham says the city can't just accept an offer like the one from Holland America. Borough Code says Skagway would have to put out an official request for proposals. Mayor Monica Carlson says no matter what, the railroad won't be removed from the conversation.
We do need to work with White Pass. White Pass will probably need to work with us to ensure that a dock's in place by 2020.
White Pass Representative Tyler Rose says the company doesn't have a clear response yet. They haven't received official notice from the city. No matter what, he says the railroad will remain an important player on the waterfront.
We're absolutely part of the port. I mean, we have the existing lease for the next 5 years. We own the other two docks on the other side. I think that there is, White Pass will be part of the port regardless moving forward, short term and long term. I think in what capacity and in what amount is really the question.
The city will be able to accommodate bigger cruise ships sailing to Skagway this summer. White Pass made changes to another dock to ensure that. Still, bigger changes are needed for that to remain true in subsequent years. Carlson says the assembly will likely discuss next steps at the next regular assembly meeting on April 5th. Southeast salmon fishermen are pushing back against deep restrictions in the king harvest this season. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
At least half of January's State Board of Fisheries meeting in Sitka was dedicated to hashing out a fishing plan for the winter, spring, and summer that would protect king salmon trying to return to the Chilkat, Unic, and King Salmon rivers. Dozens of salmon fishermen testified that last season's emergency closures were unwarranted, coming too late to benefit the fish, and only harmed the fishing industry to the tune of almost $3 million. At a February meeting of the Sitka Chamber of Commerce, Speaker Deborah Lyons with the Chinook Futures Coalition argued that Southeast trawlers gave up 31,000 kings to allow only 160 to escape into their home rivers. Salmon fishermen historically have had a good working relationship with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, but the decision to never hold a second king opener in August, when the fleet usually catches about 30% of its allocation, Lyons believes was unjustified.
So people were questioning the department. How many fish do you think you're saving for a conservation concern? Those fish are already in the rivers. Well, then here comes another reason. Oh, we had to do it for the treaty.
That's the Pacific Salmon Treaty, and Lyons is an expert on the subject. She served on the Northern Panel from 1995 to 1999, one of four regional panels which advised the treaty commissioners, and she also served concurrently on the Alaska State Board of Fisheries from 1990 to 1999. The Pacific Salmon Commission estimates the abundance of king salmon in the Gulf of Alaska and negotiates the harvest allocation between the United States and Canada. Lyons told the Sitka Chamber of Commerce that over the last three decades, Alaska had already negotiated away 49% of its historic harvest to protect stocks in Canada. She believes that preventing Alaskan trawlers from harvesting those 31,000 kings last August only meant that they would be caught in Canada and in Washington. She told the Sitka Chamber that it was a blunder.
So this was a classically horrible error in judgment by the people we love so much at the Department of Fish and Game. It really hurt our community.
The current agreement negotiated under the treaty went into effect in 2008 and will expire at the end of this year. She's calling on Governor Walker to up Alaska's game during negotiations this time around, because we have been terrible negotiators in the past.
We keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. We send a fisherman and a scientist into a negotiation room against professional diplomats, federal officials from Canada, tribal attorneys from the Pacific Northwest tribes, and government attorneys from National Marine Fisheries Service. We are outgunned.
One of the U.S. Treaty Commissioners, Charlie Swanton, holds the number two job at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and is in charge of the state's commercial fisheries. Lyons suggested that Swanton's overlapping duties as Treaty Commissioner and a state fisheries manager influenced ADF&G's decision to close both commercial trolling and sport fishing for kings last August and may have circumvented the state's traditional management process. Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott is scheduled to attend the Salmon Forum in Sitka if developments in the legislative session in Juneau don't keep him away. Other members of the panel include Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association Director Linda Benkin, discussing the economics of the small boat fleet. Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association General Manager Steve Reifenstuhl will talk about the challenges of marked select fisheries, a program suggested by the department to tag the majority of hatchery-raised king salmon. And Jim Moore will represent the Alaska Trollers Association along with fellow trollers Eric Jordan and Matt Donahoe. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.